So good afternoon, everybody, again. I want to build off of the sermon that I gave about two Sabbaths ago called Bitterness versus Loyalty. We learned that our struggles in this world sometimes leads to the wrong placement of loyalty. Sometimes at key points in our lives, too, with extremely negative impact. We reviewed three instances in the Bible that demonstrated this. We looked at Esau in Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. He was angry with his brother, and he let this bitterness grow against Jacob. Loyal to his own feelings, not to God, and he lost his opportunity for leadership and worked against his relationship with God when he decided to trade his inheritance for a little lentil soup and probably a piece of bread. Asa, the king of Judah, the other example we used, in 2 Chronicles 16, 7 through 10, another one that happened in the key moment in his history, a pivotal moment. You have to be loyal to God. That's what matters. Asa took control of the situation around him. God would have established him if he would have listened to God's prophet. Later in life, Asa repeated this again when he trusted his physicians to heal him and did not consult or involve God. This misplaced trust led to his death. Then the final example we talked about was Saul. In 1 Samuel 13, verses 11 through 14, the fear of the people and Saul trusting in himself and blaming Samuel indirectly led him to have let fear get the most of him. He didn't trust God enough. We get in situations ourselves that look impossible, but we must persevere to the end. Samuel told Saul he had done foolishly. He would have been established in his kingdom forever, but now not so. In all these cases, we saw anger and fear and lack of respect and faith for God. And if God had been allowed to do what he was trying to do, there would have been huge successes in their lives. A root of bitterness affected their relationship with God and compromised their loyalty at key junctions in their lives. The prophets called these actions a strong word. They called them foolish. We don't want to make foolish choices in our lives. We want to let the loyalty to God grow. Their relationship with God was not pure and strong and lacked a positive foundation that would allow them to overcome. We discussed three ways to prevent bitterness from disrupting your loyalty to God based on Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." And we worked on the concept of delighting ourselves in the Lord. The first one was the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. The second one was prayer, meditation, and fasting. And the purpose there is to have a heart relationship with God. So that God can say, "I know you." He won't say that if you don't walk with him in your daily life. And you don't have a burning hope from the Holy Spirit within you. That's your light and guidance. And the third point we made was humble submission to the Holy Spirit, pursuing peace daily, trying to be more like Jesus every day. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Till we come to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature in the fullness of Christ." That's what we are to be working on. We discussed how those people failed, and as the Bible put it, they were foolish. Now, we've had that quick review. Now, in part two here, we're going to discuss why it is so important to be loyal to God, and we're going to use three biblical examples to help build our faith and show us the power of God and his hand in these people's lives at critical moments in their lives. When do these moments come in our lives? Do we think about that? Have some already impacted us? Have we already made decisions that have either negatively or positively impacted our lives? Is there one big moment coming in our life? Will we be ready? Is it coming next month? Is it coming a year from now? Is it coming 20 years from now? Will our loyalties be tested like these people? Will we pass the test and make the right choice? We'll start today with a very, very important example. We're going to start with the father of the faithful, Abraham. This story is well known, and so I know you'll be able to follow me through this. Here, his loyalty to God was tested, and with full faith that God would provide. Abraham showed his faith going up to the Mount Moriah, even though the men were there waiting for him to return. He told the men when he was going up, he knew God wanted him to go up there to sacrifice his son, but he told the men, he said, that they both would return. He also told Isaac, as he was preparing him to be sacrificed on the altar, that God would provide a sacrifice. Abraham was faithful to almost the last second, and then God stopped it. Let's turn to Genesis 22, verse 2. And let's just cover the account a little bit here to refresh our memories so that we can see the power of God and the power of faith and the power of loyalty as it's working. So that's what we like to do, is to learn how to make it work in our lives too, like it worked in Abraham's life. And all these examples that I'm giving you, this is a very positive message that we're looking at here. Genesis 22:2. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Abraham then, with 100% loyalty and faith in God, followed his instructions immediately and brought his only son Isaac up for sacrifice. Then go to verses 12 through 18. And God said to Abraham, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What do you think was going on in God's mind when he said that? Remember that this is the exact same place that Jesus was crucified. And who was Jesus? He was the Son of God being crucified there, and God saying, "I know this is going to happen." This was committed from the beginning of time, that Jesus would be sacrificed there. And so God saying, "Abraham knows my mind. Abraham knows my heart. Abraham is going to sacrifice his son right where my son is going to be sacrificed." So if you think about it from God's perspective, there's a lot there for him to really admire and grow a deep, deep feeling of love for Abraham. Then in verse 13, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Then in verse 15, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now this blessing came down through generations. Abraham, being the father of the faithful, has had an enormous impact on mankind over thousands of years, even to us today. We are sitting here and enjoying the blessings that he was given because of his actions, and we're also sharing together faithful hearts in the faith of Abraham as pilgrims with him on this planet. Abraham's actions impact us today. Turn with me to Hebrews 11, please. He made a very loyal choice, a loyal decision. Hebrews 11. This is the faith chapter. And 11 through 13, it's talking about his wife. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. We have a heavenly hope here. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The point here is that we are pilgrims as well, and that Abraham's actions reach down through history to us today. And we can share in his faith. We're spiritual brothers of faith with him. It's clear that he maintained a 100% loyalty to God and did not allow self-determination to run his life. He was loyal, faithful, and selflessness is what he had demonstrated. We should strive to be the same and not let life situations, our human nature, or the world to overcome our loyalty to God. He set a very high bar, very good example of how to not let loyalty overcome, your loyalty be overcome by the world. True loyalty is a character trait. Those who are loyal to God are also loyal to each other. Their hearts exude love, faith, and adoration to God and his people. A perfect example to this is Ruth. Our next topic. Ruth was made a widow in the land of Moab and was coming with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Bethlehem to escape the drought. Ruth showed her loyalty to Naomi first, understanding the promise of a better life in the kingdom of Judah, and rejecting her life in the land of Moab. She came in hope and in faith and was eventually married to Boaz. Again, another situation where her decision was at a key point in her life, just as Abraham's, and resulted in a huge impact on mankind. She was the mother of Obed, the great-grandfather of David. Not only is her loyalty and faith already seen in the pages of the Bible, but will extend into eternity with David the king reigning over the kingdom of God. No self-determination here, but faith and loyalty to God. These verses show the core essence of marriage, very similar to the marriage of the church to Jesus Christ, where you vow a true heart commitment, loyal to God, given in faith. Please turn with me to Ruth, chapter 1. Please turn with me to Ruth, chapter 1. And we'll pick up the account here of what she said to Naomi. And you judge for yourself, but this is the core words behind a marriage covenant. Shows her real intent deep in her heart and her commitment to not only Naomi, but to God too, and to God's kingdom. This is Ruth 1, verses 16 through 17. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And there I will be buried. Oh, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Now, there's a commitment, a really solid, deep, deep commitment of loyalty and faith. Pure loyalty. Pure loyalty and faith. It was first to Naomi, but above that to God. Obviously, her commitment and loyalty to God was transferred to her offspring, David, her great-grandson, brought a deep understanding to us today. Down to today, we can feel this commitment of how our hearts can be turned to God by reading his Psalms and the scriptures that he's written. And then transferred that heart to Solomon, David's son. And then eventually, where we got from Solomon, with the Proverbs and all the wisdom that he brought. And then eventually, it was transferred to Jesus Christ, a descendant in her line as well. So with Abraham, and then with Ruth, you can see a big impact on our lives today. I'm now going to take you to Esther. Esther was a queen and had an opportunity to live a life of luxury and was so selfless, she was loyal to God and would give up her lifestyle and her life to save her people, Judah. She called her sacrifice for a time such as this. If I perish, I perish. She knew very well that the king could have killed her for becoming before her unsummoned. There was no self-determination here. It was selflessness. But faith and loyalty to God was here. Turn with me to Esther 4. Another example of putting aside our self-determination and our own will to do something big, bigger than we probably thought. Imagine if all of Judah was wiped out. Who would be alive today from the family of Judah? Esther 4, verses 10 through 11. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself, this is Esther speaking, have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So she had not seen the king for 30 days, and she's about to take her life in her own hands. And then drop down to verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And then we can read the account of what happened with all the fasting and all the commitment and all the courage that Esther put into this and the people of Judah. In Esther 5, verses 1 through 3, it talks about what happened. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her in verse 3, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? it shall be given up to you, up to half the kingdom. You see, the impact of Esther's decision at this critical moment affected the lives of a whole family of the nation of Israel, the family of Judah, of that time, and for generations to come. She set an example of bravery, faith, and pure selflessness to God through the ages. Can we put God first, even to risk our own lives, and show the loyalty and faith that Esther did? What a commitment she showed. A very, very, very strong and very loyal woman to God. We're now going to go to my next example, which is Rahab. Rahab was a very important figure when the Israelites were coming into the Promised Land. When they sent spies to Jericho as they were beginning their entry into the Promised Land, they stayed with Rahab, whose house was part of the wall of the city of Jericho. Her faith and loyalty was to God and the Israelites, and she became a traitor to her own country, which would have gotten her killed by the king if he found out, to commit to the hope of life with God in Israel. Let's go to Joshua 2, verse 1, to review this account. Of course, Rahab, as she became an Israelite and came into the country, rejecting her own country like Ruth rejected her country, gave up her life of prostitution, gave up her lies or anything else that she would have carried as baggage, and adopted God's way. And you'll see her commitment to God, very much like Ruth's commitment to God. And she had a huge impact too. So in Joshua 2, and verse 1 through 16. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Akekah grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went, and they came to the house of the harlot named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, see, even the king knew that they were there, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then she became very brave. Then the woman, in verse 4, took the two men and hid them, because she had a strong belief in her heart. She had strong loyalty to God. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had already brought them to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax on her roof, and laid them in order on the roof. And when the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords, and then as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know the Lord has given." This is where we can see her heart. We can see what her belief and her faith is and her loyalty is. "I know the Lord, that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on either side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you should also show the kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." She truly believed that God was going to do this big work. So the men answered her and said, "Our lives are for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we shall deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, let the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers return, and afterward you may go up. So you know that when they did a march around the city and attack it, that Rahab left a scarlet cord out her window so that Joshua and his men could come and rescue her and her entire family, and they did. But not only did she fear what God could do, she also believed God was God and that she could throw herself on his mercy. She stood in reverence of God and was willing to give her own life, like both Ruth, who was to marry her son, Boaz, and Esther, who was to save the nation of Israel from destruction. You see, Rahab married and had a son. His name was Boaz, who Ruth married. Her allegiance was with God, and she hid the spies, sending the king's troops the other way. If she was found out, she would have been killed for high treason by the king. Again, we find that this loyalty is transferred through generations as Rahab married Salmon and was the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, and David was her great-great-grandson. And of course, importantly, Jesus was also in her line of offspring as well. As a curious note of archaeology, the fall of the Wall of Jericho has been dug. Joshua's spies promised Rahab and the family safely if they stayed in their home. And yes, the fall of Jericho, the wall happened all around the city except for one place. One section of the wall did not fall, where they had a house and a window right there. And in the archaeology work, they now believe that this was Rahab's house that did not fall when all of the walls of Jericho did fall. You see, pure science always confirms the Bible. So with these four examples, we can see how God can use our life situations to test our loyalty to God and make our life a testament of loyalty to God. These four had such strong loyalty to God, it made a big difference, even reaching to us today. Their hearts showed a strong and loyal heart in their character. Here are three lessons we can learn from these brave and courageous and loyal people. First lesson, when you decide to grow and keep your loyalty to God, you avoid sin by following God's path and build righteousness, as was the case in all of these examples. Number two, when you are loyal to God, the impact can be big and long-lasting, even through generations. It can impact many people, as we can see through history, through these examples. When you are loyal to God, peace, number three here, peace truly starts to surpass all understanding. Wholeness and completeness comes to your life and may even extend to the generations that precede you. Proceed from you. So with delighting ourselves in the Lord, also we can use loyalty to take it a step further and now rejoice in the Lord. He is right next to us, waiting for us to reach out to him. When we connect with the Lord, did you see those moments in your life? Did you see the patience that you demonstrated? You didn't know where it came from. Did you credit the Spirit for working in you? Are we growing at least a little bit year over year and improving? We have a long way to go, but we can't deny the progress that God gives us and the blessings he shows us. We have to delight and rejoice in that and continue to grow and prove the will of God, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable in the goodwill of God. And then Philippians 4:7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's 4:1-7. I'm sorry, 4 for 7. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Then let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. If you're anxious about something, check it and see if your human determination, self-determination, is trying to take over. If fear is interfering with your loyalty to God and stopping you from really trusting and having faith in God. Let your requests be made known to God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said during the critical moment in his life that affected all of us, affects us today. Do you remember what he said? So there are three scriptures here. They all say the same thing. He said in these three scriptures, not my will, but your will be done. Can we do the same thing? I'll give you the three scriptures. Luke 22:42, Matthew 26:34, and Mark 14:36. Not my will, but your will be done. He said that at the exact right moment. Imagine what would happen if he didn't. If he didn't follow the will of God, if he erred there, he affected us with his loyalty and faith.